Our gospel this morning is from the fifth chapter of Luke, and this happens to be a piece of scripture that turns out to be the call of some of the first disciples for Jesus, in particular Peter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." Well, when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catchers of people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and they followed him. It's the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we have just done something that we usually do, well, certainly every Sunday, pretty much every service, and that is we open up this big old ancient book and we read some scripture. And usually we listen to it very quietly. And that's because we are a people of the Bible, of that book. We are a community that has been evoked by reading words called scripture, and we have come to appreciate the book, knowing that it is the word of God. That God does reveal himself to us through this book. It's kind of a special epiphany of sorts. But we often still wonder what the Bible is all about. I mean, all the while missing the point that Scripture is one of the ways to tell God's story about what life means and why we're here. And, well, it also tells an awful lot about who God is. But, of course, there are some who have come to abuse Scripture. And it most commonly occurs when someone approaches the Bible and you expect a one-on-one correlation between our problems today and the problems as they appear in the Bible. It's an easy kind of abuse. It's very simple because you have to realize the Bible is not a rule book. It's not like the NFL rule book, you know, where you can open up to page 43 and it says if the ball is on a certain part, somebody does this and this situation happens, then you do this. It's not where you go to get directives for every single step of your life. It's a real tough nut to crack in many respects, being a people, especially like us, who are so immersed in the gray areas and the edges of life. Yet we still are constantly seeking guidance to do God's will. But another way of approaching the Bible is just to read it. Just sit down, open up the cover, and read. That's one way of just letting God's revelation unfold in your life. I mean, so that you may be a little more faithful disciple of Jesus and better understand the nature of the world as promised in the reign of God. After all, Christianity is a revealed religion. We have a God who seems so eager to reveal himself to us. It's one of the very first things that you're going to realize about the Bible when you sit down and you start reading. It becomes a wonderful story of God's relentless determination to reveal God's purposes and his love for us. You know, you think about the stories of the matriarchs and the patriarchs of Israel and the stunning words of the prophets, the poetry that's in the Psalms, the words and the works of Jesus, the cross, the letters that Paul wrote to his new congregations as they were going through all the growing pains and the suffering of trying to get along with each other. And of course, there's the wild visions that are present in Revelations. I mean, there is something that is an interest to virtually everyone. All of this, we believe to be the creative, resourceful attempt of God to get through to us, each of us, to reveal himself, to manifest himself, to give each of us an epiphany. But in talking about the Bible, you also have to be honest. I mean, the problem that we have with the Bible isn't so much an age thing, you know, where the Bible is so old and we're so young and modern. Or it also isn't the fact that the Bible is just intentionally trying to be obscure. It's rather that the Bible is just true. And we're a little bit on the deceitful side. And from that point, what the Bible urges upon us just becomes difficult. Now, most of us are fairly content with our lives. We know that change, oh yeah, there's that word, change is painful for us, so we avoid it like the plague. And we do. We don't really want to let go of the old and embrace the new. Yet the Bible, this ancient book, is full of just demands of transformation. I mean, we live in a world that urges us to make up our own mind. The Bible? Well, what the Bible will do is seek to form your mind. The Bible wants to lure us to another world. It's God's world. And this is a world like no other. Because the more we read the Bible, the more we come to appreciate that it can be a very difficult place to go and find concrete answers for every possible question. But we also realize that the scriptures are about the business of questioning and examining us. You know, it's almost like when you open up the Bible and you start reading, you start feeling like something's pointing at you, like there's this bony, crooked finger right in your face. It's pointing at the deceitful part of us. But in doing so, we realize how this book brings us face to face with an unrelenting power and truth and hope. Every week, there's three passages that are assigned. Oftentimes we'll read a couple of them, sometimes one. Once in a while we'll read all three. This week, all three of them have to do with calling individuals that are well-known individuals, but it's about their call process. And the first one's Isaiah, the second one was Paul, and of course our gospel today, Peter. But when you read about Isaiah, it's amazing. You can just see, you can feel the discomfort that's all around him, like he's just squirming in that sanctuary. He knows in the presence of God that he's not worthy. So what are his words? Oh, woe's me, I am lost, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live with people who have unclean lips. Now, does that sound like somebody that's volunteering or trying to slither away and get out of this deal? Oh, he's trying to get out of it. But God isn't going to let him. God simply made the change, made him fit for the call with a simple touch of a live coal from the altar. Done. Isaiah's on his way. And then there's Paul. Now, we all know that he worked very hard in creating these new churches. He referred to himself, however, as the least of the apostles, because he spent his entire previous life persecuting Christians. Persecuting them. I mean, they'll go to jail. He goes around looking for them. Yet God had a purpose for him as well. And then in our gospel today, Peter. He had his life all laid out. Now this is one I can relate to. He had his life all laid out. He had this little fishing business. He had a family. He made a living doing what he was doing. He was so comfortable, he thought it was just clear sailing from day to day. And then along comes Jesus to call him to another kind of fishing, a vocation to cast out the net of good news of God's kingdom and reel in all who would listen. So there's change and there's transformation and there's truth. It's all there. And there's not a single one of the individuals that we would read about today who felt fit for that job. They just didn't. But God's word changed them. And God's word will change you and reform you as well. Don't think you're not a part of this. I mean, it doesn't stop with Isaiah or Paul or Peter, for in our reading and hearing scripture, the story becomes personal for us as well. I mean, it becomes a story about you and God. And a story that is both welcome and filled with fear. But just remember, you are not and never will be too worthless for God to love you. I have to say, this relationship that I had with a gentleman several years ago has made more sense to me as I've gotten into the ministry, because this particular passage connects with him perfectly. He was a Chinese fellow, and he had just graduated, gotten his PhD. He was out east, so I was going to run out there and interview him and bring him back to work in a laboratory. So that all went fine. He came back, and his family followed as well. Well, when he got to the States, he got to the laboratory, he worked there for a little while. One of the co-workers in the laboratory asked him, "Say, how would you and your daughter like to come to church with us this Sunday?" And his answer is priceless. He said, "Well, it's okay for my daughter to go, but I can't go." And his reason was this. He said, "If I were to go and hear Jesus, he would need to commit himself every day, and he wasn't ready for that change yet." Well, little did he know that the Holy Spirit was already starting to nip at his heels. You know, that those kinds of things, when God starts, it doesn't have to go like this. It can be little nips over a period of time, but God's relentless. He'll never give up. So God's word, whether it's in scripture or in person, it has a way of examining us, looking at us, humbling us, presenting us with the truth. And we quickly learn that when God reveals himself, we become the ones who are unfit to be in his presence. But we should also know that it is with God's help that we become worthy. And that's because who you are is what God needs you to be. There was, I heard someone say, I don't know who, just a comment that I heard. The comment was, it's not that we have tried Christianity and found it incomprehensible. The problem is that we tried Christianity and we found it difficult. Our problem is not that there are vast portions of Scripture, you know, that we don't understand. Our problem is that there's portions of Scripture that we probably understand all too well. We have to keep in mind, the Bible is not a book that is solely about religion. It's about everything. Everything. It wants all of us, Monday through Sunday. And in reading it, we are asked to just relinquish the grip that this world has got on us and embrace God's story, if only for a while. When you hear his scripture read, whether it's on Sundays like this morning or Wednesday evening or any time, let his words have their way with you. Close your eyes and just listen. And in doing this, you will be opening your life to something very new, something you've never felt was possible, something you never felt worthy of, something you never felt prepared for. And you'll also find that you are a part of this story and that God does have a purpose for you. Amen.